You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time tonight. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you, and I hope that you make a habit out of it. It's a really good habit to get into, and a lot of folks around the world have that habit. In 95 countries last time we counted, we're glad to have you as part of it now. Don't forget that we have a drawing that's coming up, pretty big event, March the 2nd. On March the 2nd, we're going to take all of the names of the people who are subscribed to our members area, and they all get put into a box, all strips of paper get put into a box. We'll shake them up, and then we're going to have our producer, Bob Brady, draw a name out. The name he draws out will receive a really beautiful hand-woven tapestry from Urcos Island. We talk a lot here on this show about ancient civilizations. We talk about a lot about the Mayan. Well, these are the descendants, and they that live in that area now, live in Urcos Island, and they have produced this hand-woven tapestry. You'll see it during the first break. You'll see Jerry Wills hold it up. This drawing is being sponsored by Expeditions TV. Jerry Wills is the executive producer, and we appreciate them for doing this. But you need to make sure that your name is in there, okay? And the way you do that is join our members area. And be sure you put your name in your profile when you register. All right. Let me ask you a question about this whole debate having to do with evolution versus creationism. And it really should be more properly defined or described as Darwinism versus creationism. We're going to be talking about several pretty hot issues here tonight. This is one of them that we're going to touch on. Now, I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on that on this one, but we are going to touch on this one. It's in the news again. It's in the McClatchy newspapers. And pretty big article about it. Do you think that evolution is scientific and creationism is religious? Well, apparently, quite a number of people think in those terms. A Gallup poll shows that the American public is almost evenly split. 49% say they believe in evolution. 48% say that they believe in creationism. Is Darwin right? If so, then the church story of creation can't be true. Or is the church right? If so, then Darwinism cannot be true. Mutually exclusive, actually. Where do you fit? We'll be back right after this to talk about Mr. Darwin and his theory. You know, one of the biggest, longest-lasting, deepest, and most vicious debates that has ever raged in history was set off about 200 years ago. This debate has been raging now nonstop for 200 years. It was set off when a guy by the name of Charles Darwin decided that he was going to release a book. Now, the book that he released is called The Origin of the Species, The Descent of Man. I've always thought that that book was I've always thought that that book was a bit wrongly named. It's really a misnomer. Because the theory that's contained in that book says that first there was no life, and then by some sort of, I call it a magical means, all of a sudden some primordial soup of chemicals was suddenly sparked into life. And then that little one cell of life divided and became two, and that divided and became four, and that divided and so forth. And then there were mutations that occurred, and the mutations that were advantageous survived. The ones that were not advantageous died off, so now all that's left are the mutations that were advantageous, and they continue to go through this process of reproduction, mutation, and then natural selection. And over billions and billions of years, things went from one cell to you. That is the Darwin theory. What you have is not a descent. Descent means to move downward. You have the ascent from one cell all the way to the incredibly complex you. That's the ascent of man. So I've always found it curious that he used the word descent of man in the title of his book. Nonetheless, that book set off a debate that has not stopped and shows no signs of stopping at any point in the foreseeable future. And the debate, well, the debate is sort of now just between two basic ideas. Darwinism on the one side, and the church's story of creation on the other side. These two theories, these two views, are responsible for literally millions upon millions upon millions of dollars being spent every single year. As the debate continues to rage, it continues to go before school boards and even before courts. And there are all kinds of hearings at the court level, at the school board level, and also even special commissions. Some governors have formed special commissions to listen to the debate and decide what are they going to do in terms of teaching in the schools. Now, it's pretty interesting that when you, I read this report, and here's what's interesting about it. This report is written as though there really are only these two possibilities, and that one of them has to be right. And in fact, it starts off with the question that I asked you at the beginning, and that is, was Darwin right? Should school children be exposed to contrary views in science class? If it is science, you have to be exposed to contrary views, or it isn't science. Science is not an exact science. Do you understand that? Science is a matter of a whole bunch of people doing experiments, trying to replicate the results. In other words, someone over here does an experiment, then someone here does the same experiment, someone over there does the same experiment, and they're trying to duplicate the results. And by being able to duplicate the results over and over and over, they reach a point where they can say with a very high degree of certainty that when you do this experiment and you do it precisely as described, you will get precisely this result. That's science. That's real science. But the problem with that is that the factor that's the variable there would be humans, because we're not perfect, and therefore no experiment can be produced exactly as the previous experiment was. There are always going to be slight variations in it, therefore slight variations in the results. So science is an approximation of belief, and an approximation of a high degree of certainty that if you follow these instructions, this is what you'll get. And but it's an approximation. It's not highly precise. Well, Darwinism, of course, cannot, whether you go with Darwin or not, the origins of the universe, the origin of the earth, the origins of life on the earth, and of course, us, you can't duplicate that in an experiment. You can't duplicate it anywhere. It's never been observed. The origins of the universe are not observable. They are also not duplicatable. All right, so having said that, the big debate then is, well, then what should we teach children in the science class? Well, the problem comes with, first of all, the widespread belief that one of these is accurate. And when they have never been observed and cannot be duplicated, all you can ever say about either of these theories is that you believe in them. You believe in Darwinism, or you believe in creationism. It can't be duplicated, cannot be observed, never has been observed, and never will be observed. Therefore, what we have here, and this report, it's a good report, but this report brings us into, it brings into focus for us this big debate, and it focuses this debate this way. It frames it this way, that it's a debate between science and religion. And I contend it is not. It is a debate between two opposing religions, because Darwin never saw the origin of life. He never saw the origin of the universe. He speculated, and there's nothing wrong with that. You have to do some supposition. You have to do some speculation if you're going to do science. And then you have to say, okay, well, let's test it and see. Well, whenever I say these things, I get email from people telling me how unscientific I am, and if I was educated, I would know. My friends, I am educated. But you don't have to be educated very well to understand that out of all the millions and millions of fossils that have been dug up, there has never been found one single cross-species, trans-species fossil. There has never, ever been found the fossil of a bird snake. There has never been found a fossil of a Tyrannosaurus rex kitty cat. There is no trans-species migration, nothing going from one species to another. Evolution, if in fact you decide that evolution is real, and there are a lot of people who just hold it religiously. Some of you listening to me right now are having just absolute turmoil in your heart and in your mind, and you're frothing at the mouth, and you really want to take a chunk out of me because I am telling you that Darwin is dead. And I've said that many times on this show. Darwin and his theory are dead. Dead in the water, dead on arrival. There has never, ever one time been found a trans-species evolution. There is evolution or change within a species. On average, humans today generally are taller than humans were, say, 200 years ago. We're bigger than we were 200 years ago. But we're still in the same species. So there is change within a species, but there has never, ever been found the fossils of a trans-species beast of any kind. Not once. Not a single bone. Not a tooth. Not one single scale off a reptilian hide that's trans-species. On the other hand, you also cannot prove the creation story as the church presents it. They haven't observed it. Can't be done in a laboratory. And so what you have is they believe in their story. Well, so do Darwinists. They believe in their story. This is a big debate between two opposing religions. But here's the kicker. What if they're both wrong? What if they're both wrong? We can say that Darwin is wrong because the fossil record that his theory rests upon doesn't support the theory. What if you were to say that the church story of creation is also wrong, and that the document upon which they rest doesn't tell the story they tell? Oh, I stepped in it now. Oh, I'm going to get some email. Okay, but that's all right. The fact is, it's not an opinion, it's a fact, that the document that tells that creation story, or tells a creation story, that document that the church uses and says, oh, this is the creation story. The story that the church tells doesn't, it's not the same as the one that document tells. By a long shot. By a very, very long shot. Vastly different. Having said that, I won't delve into all the wherefores, whys, and details. We'll do that in the seminar that's coming up on March 29th. But having said that, it is in the best interest of Darwinists, the religion of Darwin, it is in their best interest to keep this debate going and not win it. And it's in their best interest because there are millions upon millions of dollars flowing into these organizations that are going to battle for the Darwinist theory, at school boards, in court, in commissions and hearings. Millions of dollars flowing in to those organizations. There are people earning livings from that. It is in their best interest to keep the debate going. The same thing is true on the other side of the fence. The the religionist side of the fence that wants creation taught as equally as the theory of Darwin, there are millions of dollars going into the coffers of those organizations that are supporting the fight to put creationism in the science class. One of the debates that needs to be, and look, it's both sides, it's in their best interest. If either side wins, then the money stops. But one of the big debates here, sort of in the background, is, or one of the things that gets said, is that creation is fine if you want to believe it, but teach it at church. Don't bring religion into the science class. Well, I agree, so get Darwin out. Because you should not be teaching as science something that is totally unsupportable, unprovable, never been observed, never been replicated, and it rests 100% entirely upon the faith of people who call themselves scientists. This is a theory that has never and can never be proven. It is a religion just as much as the church is. It's a different religion. It is a religion nonetheless. And if you are going to say that you can't bring religion into the science class, get Darwin out. Because that is as much a religion as the church is. It's belief in Darwin's theory of evolution is a belief. The word belief and the word faith are the same word. They come from exactly the same origins. Faith and belief are equal. It's the same thing. So if you say, I believe Darwin's theory of evolution, then you are admitting to a religion. It is a religion. It has no support whatsoever, not an ounce, in the actual fossil record. If you can show me one, just one, trans-species fossil, I'll reverse everything I just said. But you can't, because it's never, ever been found. So, until they find it and prove for sure that's what it is, then Darwinism is a religion. Get it out of the science class. You may disagree with that. I'll give you a chance to disagree with that in a little bit if you want. In the seminar that I'll be leading on March 29th, I'll be delving into this in tremendous detail. Both sides of this debate are in it for the money. Both sides of this debate know, they have to know, they're wrong. Both of them have to know that the evidence that they are resting their case on does not support their case. The fossil record does not, it blows Darwin away. It does not support Darwin. And the documentary record, the document Genesis that the church story rests upon does tell a creation story. It does not tell the one that the church tells. And so it blows them away. So what is the truth? Well, I think that when you come down to it, no matter what, you're going to have to say, I believe this, that, or the other thing, but you need to understand and at least admit that when you say, I believe, that's not science, that's faith. We'll be back right after this. Moving right along, I found some interesting stuff here on the internet. I don't know how accurate this is. Whenever you find things on the internet, you have to question. You got to reserve a place in your mind to say this is just not accurate. I don't know, but this first appeared January the 30th, 2009. At 11:52 p.m. And it has been viewed 135 times since then, so it hasn't had a tremendous readership. But I saw no opposing comments posted, and it is in a blog. So here is the report. And first, you remember Nick Pope. Nick Pope was formerly the top UFO investigator for the Ministry of Defense. He was their Fox Mulder, and but the real kind. And Nick Pope said, just before this came out, just before January 30th, about a week before, I think, that in fact, it was on the 24th of January, so yeah, about a week before. He disclosed in an article that appeared in the newspaper over in Great Britain that under a top secret government directive, RAF pilots were told to shoot down UFOs and had tried to do so and had not been able to succeed at it, and that this had been going on since the 1980s. Okay. Do you remember the name Colin Andrews? Colin Andrews used to appear on a whole lot of talk shows. He used to appear, his articles used to appear, articles about him used to appear, about crop circles. And then he sort of dropped out. Well, I contacted Colin Andrews sometime, I think it was last year, attempting to get him to be a guest on my show. And he said he didn't do radio shows anymore because he just had so much, had just a tremendous amount of heat from the, we'll say the powers that be, although I hate to use that term. He said that he had pretty much dropped out of the crop circle investigation field. Okay, now, here we've got Colin Andrews, who pretty much dropped out of the crop circle investigation field over heat he was receiving, pressure. And then we've got Nick Pope, who is a former UFO investigator for the Ministry of Defense. And Nick Pope says there's a top secret directive given to RAF pilots to shoot down UFOs since the 1980s. That's been in effect. All right, put those two together, and here's the information that I read. The title on this says Pentagon monitoring Nick Pope UFO shoot down disclosure closely. All right. Here's the blog. It says that this week, Colin Andrews posted an article on his website which claimed that British royal family and British Ministry of Defense have asked him to remove some UFO and crop circle-related documents from his website. That's the first paragraph. That is pretty interesting indeed. Don't know if it's true. But if it is true, it means Colin Andrews got too close to the truth. He must have hit the truth right on target. And I have no more information about it. I tried to find more information about this. I have no more information about it. I wish I knew what documents had to be taken down, because those are the ones that hit the bullseye of the target, if this is true. All right, and then it says, goes on to talk about the Nick Pope disclosure about this top secret directive, and then it says on the 27th of January, David Cameron, who is a conservative party leader, told the media, quote, "We will publish secret UFO files if I become prime minister," end quote. And then it says, because of all these reports, disclosure, and commitments, UFO news has is buzzing international media and Pentagon headquarters too. And then in quotes it says, intelligence groups are logging onto websites which are carrying the shoot down story. Nick knew that he was doing what he was doing, and our websites are getting interesting traffic from government agencies. Several intelligence, international intelligence groups logged on to UFO Blogger immediately. That's the name of a website. Immediately after posting Nick Pope's disclosure news, we got hits for Pentagon, NNIC, DHS, U.S. Air Force, U.S. Army, and NASA. But what amazed us more is when someone from Google headquarters itself looked into our blog after intelligence groups hit our site. And within a few hours, our UFO Blogger YouTube account got censored. Now, I don't know what was in the UFO Blogger YouTube account. I don't know what kind of comments were being made on whatever videos they had. I don't know what documents Cullen Andrews had on his site that caused this report is true, that caused the British Royal Family and British Ministry of Defense to ask him to take some of those documents down, some of the UFO and crop circle related documents. I don't know what was in those documents. But this certainly does not sound like a program issuing out of that meeting that was reported to have taken place. Remember back in February of last year, February the 12th of last year, it is reported that there was a meeting at the UN building in New York City in which UFO reality and extraterrestrial reality were disclosed and discussed, and the outcome of the meeting was supposed to be that you have to get the people acclimated all over the world, get them acclimated to the idea that extraterrestrials are real and that they do visit this earth, and they have and they will be visiting this earth. And that's what we heard about that meeting. That was the upshot of the meeting. Well, these activities sound like the old Stalinesque tactics that have been used in the past to try and shut down anything having to do with getting the news out about UFOs and extraterrestrials. Again, I have to tell you that I don't know that this report is accurate. There may be details that we're not getting here that would really completely change our view of these actions. So let's assume at the moment, let's just assume that this report is accurate and that it leaves no pertinent details out. What we've got is Cullen Andrews getting pressured by the British Royal Family and British Ministry of Defense. And then you have UFO Blogger stating, that's UFO Blogger is a website, and stating that intelligence groups have been logging onto their website and lists, they got hits from the Pentagon, NNIC, DHS. DHS is Department of Homeland Security, folks. If you're outside the United States, that's what that is. U.S. Air Force, U.S. Army, and even NASA. Okay? And then someone from Google headquarters looked into their blog after intelligence groups hit their site, and within a few hours, the UFO Blogger YouTube account was censored. Now, this is not the first time, if that happened, this is not the first time that Google has cooperated with an attack on freedom of speech. They did that with China. They cooperated with the communist government of China in providing information to shut down freedom of speech coming out of China. Google doesn't have a very good track record, and I'm not basing this statement entirely on this report because I don't know about the accuracy of this report. But we do know what Google did with China. They don't have a very good track record with respect to freedom of speech, with respect to anything having to do with what we consider just basic human rights, and in this country, constitutionally protected freedom of speech. So because of that, because of their previous track record, I suspect this report is true, but I don't know. I find it amazing that there was a video that was on YouTube that was a parody of and therefore disrespectful to, in the eyes of the people of Thailand and the government of Thailand, disrespectful to the king of Thailand. In their country, in Thailand, that is really against the law, to be disrespectful to or about the royal family. It's against the law. YouTube said that the Thai government requested that they remove that, and YouTube said they would not do it, and they did not do it. Now, subsequently, maybe they have, but at the time, they said no, they would not remove it, because it would be a violation of freedom of speech. And so the Thai government blocked YouTube. I haven't followed this any further, so I don't know if YouTube has removed that video, and I don't know if the Thai government removed the block. But at one point in Thailand, because of that, you could not get YouTube. And YouTube was standing its ground and said, no, it would be a violation of freedom of speech. But YouTube is owned by Google, and Google already has a track record of giving up freedom of speech and turning over free thinkers to a repressive regime. They already have that. It's a matter of record. It's already been, in the news and all, debated in Congress even. So because of that, I suspect that YouTube, Google, canceled or censored this UFO blogger account. We'll be back with more interesting, hot, sizzling issues right after this. Welcome back. We were talking about, when we went away for break, I was talking about this report that I've read it before, and I've sort of just let it simmer because I wanted to see what responses would be to this, and there have been no responses countering it that I found. This report that Colin Andrews has received pressure from the British Royal Family and Ministry of Defense, asking him to remove some UFO and crop circle-related documents from his website. And then the fact that posting the Nick Pope disclosure about this government directive for RAF pilots to shoot down UFOs, they posted that on UFO Blogger, and then they posted on the 27th, they posted David Cameron's statement on the 27th that if he gets elected to be the prime minister, he'll publish all the secret UFO files. And once they posted all that stuff, and especially the Nick Pope statement, UFO blogger says that their site all of a sudden started getting lots of hits from the Pentagon, NNIC, DHS, U.S. Air Force, U.S. Army, and NASA, and I presume others. Then Google HQ checked into their blog and within a few hours censored their YouTube account. I was saying that this does not sound like what we heard was going to be the plan of action coming out of that February 12th reported meeting that was reported to have taken place at the UN building in New York City. This sounds like the old Stalinesque tactics that were used since 1947. If this report is true, but even if this report turns out not to be accurate, if that were the case, and I don't know, but even if this report were to turn out to be not accurate, it is a fact that all over the world, UFO groups, UFO broadcasts, UFO websites are reporting, they are saying that they are having an increase in what I will call harassment. Now, you didn't know this. Those of you who watched the show last night, you didn't even know this. But last night, the reason that you saw Jeff Woolline's video is because 3 minutes before showtime, our scheduled guest had his phone line cut. Who cut it? I don't know. 3 minutes before. One of the things that's been happening here on this show, and you know this, it started several months ago. No matter, if I put the guest on line A, line A gets cut during the show. If I put the guest on line B, suspecting that line A may have some technical difficulty, I put the guest on line B. Line B gets cut. If I put the guest on line C gets cut. I don't mean physically cut. I mean, you've heard it. We're talking, and then all of a sudden, we hear a dial tone, and it's over. Could it be technical problems? No, it's not technical problems. It's not technical problems, and I know that because I did an experiment. We had a show where the guest got cut off twice. So when I recontacted the guest, on a whole different phone line, phone system, and the guest got cut off two times on that one. Meanwhile, I was taking your telephone calls on the first telephone line that had gotten cut off, and I moved the guest from there to another one. So I took your telephone calls on the phone line that the guest had been on. You didn't get cut off. So are UFO groups, are UFO talk shows, are UFO investigators, websites, are they being targeted? I have to tell you that at this point, it definitely appears that way. And the people who are doing that are not too bright. Look, you can have an IQ of 180 and still be dumb as a stump when it comes to common sense. These people are not bright because by doing what they're doing, they are accomplishing two tasks and not accomplishing their first one, not accomplishing their goal. The first thing that they accomplish when they do this is they literally take, it's like they take, you know what a highlighter pen is, right? This is a highlighter pen. That one's purple, all right? It's like taking a highlighter pen and putting it over what the guest has just said that you didn't want people to hear. If you're one of those people who cuts off these phones, you didn't want anybody to hear that, so bang, you cut off the phone. You just put a highlighter over everything that guest just said. And in the minds of listeners all around the world, you just cemented it into their minds that the thing you didn't want them to hear is in fact true. Dumb move. The second thing you accomplish is you prove for the entire world that while you boldly stand up and salute the flag and place your hand over your heart when the Star-Spangled Banner is sung and proclaim loudly your love for freedom, you just proved that you're an enemy of the Constitution and an enemy of freedom. Wherever freedom-loving people are, you've declared yourself to be their enemy. Dumb move. All right. In spite of the fact that there appears to be a very strong movement against UFO talk shows, UFO videos, UFO websites, etc. In spite of that fact, people in record numbers are reporting seeing UFOs. Now, they don't often report them to government or government agencies because we've learned, first of all, that those agencies are completely and totally irrelevant, untruthful, untrustworthy. When it comes to the UFO topic, when it comes to UFOs, government agencies are going to lie to you and, if necessary, apparently harass you. So people don't report them to government agencies. They have formed their own agencies to report them to, thus bypassing the government and swiping the government right off the board as irrelevant. Don't need you. We can do it ourselves. And so they form their own groups. In Canada, in Winnipeg, that's the home base for ufology research. It's a volunteer group of a half a dozen researchers. They say that according to their records, in 2008, there were 1,004 reports of UFOs. That was up by more than 25% from 2007, and it was the highest amount in the 20 years that this group has been keeping records. So 2008 was a banner year in Canada for UFO sightings. It was a banner year not just in Canada, it was a banner year in a lot of other places. Let's see, this report says that in Britain last year, the number of UFO reports was more than double what was reported in 2007. How about that? More than double. In 2007, over 2007, so 2008, doubled the number of UFO reports in Great Britain. And then in Canada, it was up by 25%, according to one of the groups that has been started. What is going on is that no matter the harassment, no matter the problems, you cannot stop the people from knowing and from thinking. All right, welcome. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And we're going to open up the phone lines so that you can call and say what you think about these things. You know, one of the interesting things, very interesting but disturbing things that developed over the past 8 years is in the training offered by certain federal agencies to law enforcement, to firefighters, to postal workers, et cetera, et cetera. They provided training for indicators of who might be a terrorist. You know, one of the really interesting and disturbing red flags is someone who talks about the Constitution too much or who quotes from the Constitution too much might be a terrorist. Give me a freaking break. That is absolutely ridiculous. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario. How's my audio tonight?
It sounds good, Kevin.
It sounds good tonight. Okay, good. Boy, a lot of topics being brought up tonight.
Yeah, really.
Well, all I got to say when it comes to the Darwinism versus creationism, well, let me tell you, I'm actually going to say a little bit from column A and a little bit from column B. And I'll tell you why. You see, I'm on the very last pages of Zechariah Sitchin's Stairway to Heaven. And I take a lot from his research that there is some creationism in there, but I don't think it's on a divine level, on a magical level. I think it's more on a scientific level. And when it comes to Darwinism, I think we were the ones that the Anunnaki genetically manipulated. I think they were already on their way to evolving into a sentient species. Mind you, it would have taken a lot longer, but I think the Anunnaki sped up that process because you've got to take into effect those fused chromosomes in our DNA tend to tell the picture on that.
Well, it might be. I don't buy Darwinism, period. And I'm not a religious individual, as you know. I don't buy it, period. Because Darwin's theory of evolution depends upon one species morphing into another higher species. Mm-hmm. And there's not one single tiny bone fragment in the fossil record of any trans species. So I don't buy anything in Darwin's theory of evolution.
Well, and I also asked the question. Like I think Zechariah Sitchin was totally on the right track. I guess you could say seeded here, or the beings that were already here were genetically manipulated. Perhaps to the point where we are incompatible with our predecessors. But Zechariah Sitchin also brings up a good question, too, when it comes to that, to the creation of creationism. Who created and who gave sentience to the Nephilim and the Anunnaki? Is another good question. Who created them?
Well, and see, there are no theories of science that can possibly answer the a priori. In other words, what happened before the first?
And on to the UFO subject, UFOs in Canada. Can you believe it's already been a year since that UFO sighting I reported on your show?
That was pretty exciting when you called in that night and you said, I'm looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a year. And were you aware, before I read that report, that UFO sightings were up by 25%?
Oh, yeah. UFOs were reported left, right, and center all throughout Canada.
Yeah. Been a busy, busy year, 2008, wasn't it?
It certainly has. And when I was brought on with IPUS after that UFO sighting, because it was Dick Criswell that was on the show that night, too, if I remember correctly.
That's correct.
And I started looking into some UFO activity here, and including, I looked into an apparent UFO landing. Somebody had called me after I posted some messages in the newspaper sitting up and looking at UFOs and whatnot. I didn't get very many messages, but one said, well, a UFO landed here a couple of years ago if you want to come check it out, and I went and checked it out. And nothing really came of it, but there was just some burnt ground, and the guys, the people there said that nothing ever grew there. But we've been having, there was activity up there, up in Iroquois Falls, Timmins. I've reported also at one time about the UFO crash that we had up there back in the 1950s. But so, yeah, Canada has had its share of UFO sightings, and especially throughout 2008, there's been a lot on the East Coast, apparently I've been reading about, and there's been some also around Vancouver.
Well, not only were the number of sightings in 2008 up by 25%, not only that, 2008 was the highest number in the past 20 years.
And I think Don Ledger was talking to somebody. I heard Don Ledger, I'm sure you must have heard of Don Ledger. Yeah, I heard him on a radio talk show, I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago, I think it was. He was talking about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Saying that the UFO sightings in Canada have been shooting up quite substantially.
All right. Well, Kevin, thanks for the call. Always good to hear from you.
All right. Have a good night, man.
All right. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, and I'd like to know any of these topics that I've talked about, or maybe you've got one of your own that you would like to talk about. Maybe you have experienced personally harassment and pressure. Maybe you've been getting the heat from one government source or another about maybe you've written articles about UFOs or you've been on talk shows talking about UFOs or whatever. Maybe you have a personal account of the heat. Those of you that listen to the show every night already know what we go through. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Well, not now, you're not. All right, 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. When you call, you get put on hold if you make it through, and you can hear the show in the background quietly. So just stay on hold for us, okay? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan up in Washington again. How are you?
Outstanding, Ryan. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Well, I saw a story in the paper. I don't know if you caught on to this, but CNN is reporting that another NASA satellite crashed. NASA satellite crashes minutes after launch. It says, we could not make orbit, NASA program manager said.
Yeah, it was on a Taurus XL rocket, and they launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base, and it crashed. It put the satellite in the ocean. Sure did. And, Ryan, this is one of the reasons, I don't know if you heard the show where I talked about how nonsensical it is for this or any other administration to be talking about cutting NASA's budget. They need to double it. And one of the proposals that has come down the pike now is to scrap NASA's plans to build this new rocket that will carry us to the moon. And they say, well, we've already got military rockets you can use. NASA said, in fact, it was Michael Griffin, who was the director of NASA, said, we've looked at those, they're not powerful enough, and secondly, they're not safe enough for human travel, for human spaceflight. Well, this launch proves that point, doesn't it?
Well, what's the deal with all these, just makes you wonder why all these satellites keep crashing. You know, Richard Hoagland believes that the collision between the Russian satellite and the American satellite was not an accident. He said the odds are very, very slim, like That's his theory, that it was not an accident. That's what he was saying on Coast to Coast last night. I don't know if I...
And who does he think is behind it? Who does he say caused it?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was coming up with that. He was talking about that on the radio last night, that he said it was the odds of that happening or something like that. Anyways, it just makes you wonder, what are we going to do now? North Korea announced that they're going to put a satellite into space. And, of course, India and China, all these other countries are going up there. It just makes you wonder what's going to happen now. You know, the only thing about the shuttle that I find kind of silly is this idea of burning this big fuel tank they use to burn it up. It just, can't we think of a better way to get into orbit besides just burning jet fuel to get up there?
Yeah,
it's kind of silly. It's kind of silly if you ask me to we're still burning jet fuel to get in this. I mean, we've got to have some other way to get into orbit.
Yeah, I think they have advanced means of doing so. But I don't think they are for public consumption. You know, in other words, that's not what you and I get to see launched. I think they probably do have advanced propulsion systems, but you and I don't get to see them.
I'd hate to see another shuttle disaster.
Yeah, but spaceflight, even with the most advanced spacecraft, is immensely dangerous. There's no way that you can make spaceflight safe. It's just dangerous.
This satellite was going up to monitor, guess what?
Global warming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, you have a good night, man.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the number. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about all of this? See, when I say all of this, I put a lot on the table. I know that. But it's because all of it's coming into the news at the same time right now. I think that report about websites being harassed, and if that's true, that particular report, that's pretty ominous. But even if that report is not true, one thing is true, and that is you get to hear it right here, live, Monday through Friday. You have heard it happen. That's ominous. That's just, and it's unconstitutional. Oh, oops, I said that word. That's one of the trigger words. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hey, Kevin. Go ahead.
I said nothing. I'm waiting for you.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to make one comment about the crackdown on UFO sites.
Okay.
I think it's about time the ETs out there realize that the powers that want to be on this planet are a bunch of screw-ups. If they want to make contact, they're going to have to slap them on the wrist, knock them upside the head and say, boys, we're here. Deal with it.
Well, that it could happen, you know. It just could happen. The thing is that... We remember when we were talking, Brent, about that meeting February the 12th last year? Remember when we were talking about how, from that meeting came the plan that you have to acclimate the public and get them used to it and start disclosing the facts? Remember that?
Yeah, I also remember that one of the directives that came out of that was that they were supposed to treat people that claim to have seen UFOs or been abducted as criminals, essentially.
That is the truth as well. That is the truth as well. And so, if people say, okay, I have had a contact with an extraterrestrial, according to that report, they would be targeted for ridicule and discredit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's true. So what do you think is up? Do you think that we're going to see an increase in the harassment for shows like this and for shows that talk about extraterrestrials and UFOs and crop circles? Are we going to see an increase in the Stalin-esque anti-freedom unconstitutional tactics?
I'm afraid so, yeah.
Well, at least I got that said before they carry me off to the farm.
Yeah. Okay,
all right.
Good night.
Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And would love to know what's on your mind about all of this stuff, or maybe something else. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Hello?
You're live on the air. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I thought Jeff Wollerine's stuff yesterday was incredible. And I wanted to ask a quick question just for fun.
Okay.
And bounce it off of you. And I'll hang up.
Okay.
What do you think those things were that he filmed besides the petroglyphs? And why do you think they were so small?
You're talking about the things in the air? Yeah, I guess so. I don't know what those things in the air are. I have seen some of them. All of us out here in Phoenix have seen strange things like that in the air from time to time. I don't know what they are. As for why are they so small? Well, I don't know that either. Some of them are small. Some of them are not so small, but are simply a long ways from the camera. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's Kevin from Northern Alberta calling.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Let me turn the volume down here.
Yep.
Oh, good to speak with you tonight, Kev.
Well, thank you. What's on your mind?
As far as UFO reports going up, you know what? I think they've always been up there. I used to live in Winnipeg, and one sighting or one particular how can I explain this encounter never gets talked about much on the radio anymore. And that was the Stephen Michalak encounter at Falcon Lake, the fellow that got burnt.
I don't know that I'm even familiar with that one.
Oh, very famous, very famous. He had radiation burns on his chest. It was even on Mysteries, or whatever that show used to be.
Mm. Well, that must have aired back when I was out of the country.
Yeah. A very, very good encounter. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you've got a good listenership here, and I think if everybody sent in $10 to your program, we could keep it on the air, and hopefully the government wouldn't try to shut you down.
Well, let me make something, let me clarify something. I cannot say it's the government, and I cannot say that if it is the government, I know which part of the government. I don't know that. I simply know this. I mean, I suspect things, but I know this. Whoever does this is an enemy of freedom, and they are an enemy of the Constitution of the United States of America.
And Canada.
Actually, freedom of speech is one of the basic human rights agreed upon in the Human Rights Conventions of the United Nations. So internationally, freedom of speech is a basic human right. So whoever it is that shuts us up or tries to, they are enemies of international law. They are enemies of Canadian law, enemies of United States law. They are enemies of freedom. And as far as I'm concerned, that means they are enemies.
I agree.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right.
Bye-bye.
623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. The telephone line is open, and we've put a lot of stuff on the table. I am quite aware of that. One of the things that you can do if you happen to not be in the United States and you're not in Canada, you can send me a flash message, and I'll read it, and we'll deal with it on the air, okay? You just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, you'll see a link that says flash message. But if you're in the United States, don't use that. I won't read it. We have a telephone number for you. If you're in Canada, don't use a flash message. We have a telephone number for you. Speaking of telephone, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Charles in Michigan, Kevin.
Hi, Charles.
Hey, I'm the guy that thought Wernher von Braun made shavers.
Well, that's okay. Look, people are new to this information every day. There's nothing wrong with not knowing. You know, the only yeah. thing that's wrong is when someone is presented with evidence and they say, okay, well, I'm not going to pay attention to the evidence. My mind is made up. Now, that's wrong. But there's nothing wrong with not knowing something.
Okay. Well, thanks for that affirmation anyway.
Yeah.
I'm calling in because I'm still investigating the holographic universe.
Uh-huh.
And the more and more I investigate, it's just the deeper this rabbit hole goes, and I'm hoping you have a guest on soon that can, like, really put it into perspective.
You know, I had a guest about 2 months ago that wrote a book about that, and I'm trying to – I can see the face. I can't remember the name. But the book that he wrote, he holds patents for data transmission designs and so forth. But and he wrote a book saying that all the evidence seems to say that we are in a programmed reality here. And we talked about that, the holographic universe.
But it's a program with free will, then.
Well, we talked about that. I don't recall if he said yes or no to that. I would have to say that if it's a sophisticated program, then it would have all kinds of free will in it, because it would be just like a computer game. If you choose this, then here's the whole set of things that can happen. If you choose that, well, there's a set of things that can happen. And the game doesn't know which you're going to choose, but it's prepared for you whichever way you go.
Yeah, that's exactly what puzzles me, because it's like a puzzle inside of a puzzle. And
well, it is, yeah.
If I'm inside of that puzzle, my logic's only going to work within the rules of that puzzle that's laid before me, so I have to get to the science fact, or the science part of it, the quantum mechanics behind it.
Listen, do you want to hang on through the break? Do you want to hang on through the break?
Yes, I will.
Yeah, hang on. All right, we'll be back, folks. Don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Charles, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. The whole thing about the holographic universe is it's a mind bender. But what you've got, I think, to come to finally in the end is the question, okay, so what? If it is holographic, and if, in fact, we're somebody's computer game, it's still real to us. And, you know, we still have to deal with the issues inside the game and live it as though it were not a game.
Yeah. They did a Star Trek episode dealing with that. They had Dr. Moriarty from the Sherlock Holmes novels, and he woke up and realized that he was a holographic projection with artificial intelligence, and the way they trapped him in the end was it was a really good episode. I wish I could remember the name. It was a Next Generation episode. Brilliant writers.
Yeah, they were. All right. Well, listen, I have to move along to other calls, but the holographic universe is apparently a possibility. It's not one. I'll tell you, I don't think that I subscribe to that. I don't think we are a programmed reality. I think that it is real by every definition of real, and that the consequences for our choices are real. And even if it is, if we are somebody's computer game, the consequences are real to us. So I don't know. I don't worry about it much.
It could be considered like a religion, then. You can't disprove it. So
when we start talking about the universe, there's very little you can prove and very little you can disprove. Yeah. That's why I don't know how long you've been listening to the show, but if you've been listening for very long, you've heard me say that almost everything in the universe is paranormal. The definition of paranormal is anything for which there is no scientific explanation. Well, there's no scientific explanation for most of the universe.
Can I say one more thing, Kevin,
sure,
before I get off?
Yeah.
Okay. When I was a kid, I used to walk around with like a bathroom mirror, and I did this of my own will. It wasn't taught to me or anything. And I would sit and I would stare into the mirror and watch the ceiling above me. And I would walk around the house and I would watch like all the variances going on with like what was going on through the mirror in the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
But what optical science tells us is that everything that comes through the cones of our eyes is flipped upside down and reversed.
Mm-hmm.
So it just goes to, it befuddles me that I really don't know what to think about it. It's just everything's upside down coming through my eye and reversed.
Yeah.
So that's an illusion in and of itself.
Yeah, well, whenever you see me on the screen, it appears that I've moved to your left. I've moved to my right.
Okay.
And but the monitor for the camera shows it exactly the opposite of the way it gets translated to the screen. And it's people who watch monitors get confused. And so they should not watch monitors when they're on TV because it will confuse you. It shows... When I look at the monitor and I have moved to my right, what I'm seeing is the opposite of that. But by the time it comes to your screen, it looks right. And your eye does the same thing. Yeah, your eye does the same thing.
Zeros and data bytes.
Do what?
All through zeros and ones.
Yeah.
Data.
That's correct. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. And I think that this audience, the Kevin Smith Show audience, is a thinking audience. And I think we have put enough out on the table to give us a lot to think about. What we have, apparently, you know, we've got this, it appears that maybe UFO talk shows, websites, etc. are being targeted. It appears that may be the case. And at the same time, an increase around the world in UFO sightings. As the sightings go up and the calls for disclosure become louder and the pressure for disclosure becomes greater, it seems that forces that do not want disclosure are becoming first bolder, more active, but secondly stupider in how they do what they do. And maybe I'm wrong about all of that. Maybe I'm also wrong about Darwin. But from my point of view, and see, look, you might say, well, what has that got to do with anything? Well, it has a whole lot to do with it, doesn't it? If Darwin is correct, then, and see, most of science is built on an assumption. Most of what we call science today is built on this assumption, this foundation of Darwinism. And Darwinism is a closed box system, and it does not allow for intervention. Because once you say there is intervention in the system, you're talking, they say, you're talking about God, and that's religion, not science. Well, the whole basis of Darwinism is blown away by the evidence they try to sit on. It's blown away by the absence of any trans-species fossils. Not one, not a single one out of millions of fossils that have been dug up, not one trans-species. In other words, you don't have one, not one single frog parrot, half frog, half parrot. You don't have that. There's nothing trans species. Now, you do have hybrids. I mean, we have hybrids today. Ligers. Have you ever heard of ligers? That's lions crossbred with tigers. They are gigantic, huge, but that's still cat to cat. It's not trans species. It's still the same species, but a hybrid of two different families within the species. So there are no trans species fossils. And what has that got to do with UFOs? What is that? Well, it has a lot to do with it, because there are ancient documents that say it isn't evolution, it isn't creationism, it's intervention by beings from elsewhere. Now, there are people that say, well, that's just nuts. Let me tell you what nuts is. It's nuts to believe a theory that has no supporting evidence at all. It's nuts to believe a story and wave a document in someone's face and say, you believe that, you believe the story because of that document, and then when they read that document, it doesn't tell that story. That's nuts. So in the absence of absolute knowledge, which we don't have, all theories are valid. Each theory is just as valid as any other theory, as long as you recognize it's a theory. When you start calling it a fact, and you start... being fervent about the it's a fact. Well, now you've gone religious. You've become religious with the theory. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. This is Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I got one more. I got something else, but one more comment from last night. Show.
All right.
I remember seeing, and I racked my brain, but I couldn't come up with anything. But I know I seen a documentary on where someone in the military, a couple military guys, I don't know if it's the same mountain that's out there, but they found these guys and they wanted to raid it. And the commander found out about it, and they went in and they took out all the gold and stuff. But then, and then they covered it all back up, you know, and it was like they basically, you know, the military guys got away with taking the gold and stuff. But I can't, so I can't come for the life of me remember what that was or if anyone else ever heard that or not.
Do you remember when it was supposed to have happened?
Long time ago, probably right after World War II. I mean, it was quite a while ago.
And it was someplace in the United States?
Pardon me?
It was someplace here in the United States?
Yeah, it was a mountain out in, you know, out there in the desert, you know, by, you know, where, like, you know, no one goes, but, you know, these guys, gold finders and stuff, and I don't know, somehow, you know, I can't remember the, you know, whole thing exactly, but I know the two military guys got a hold of it, and they got some of their friends in on it, and they were going to, you know, take the gold and stuff, and then the big boys got wind of it or whatever, you know, so they went in and confiscated it, and, you know, where it went was, you know, kind of left up to you, and then they closed it all up.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure, you know, it could have been possibly they were talking about South Mountain.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that story. But it could be.
Yeah, I wish I could verify it more, but I know, I swear, I seen something on that. I also wondered what do you think about the convenience of that carbon monoxide NASA was sending up that I can crash here. How convenient was that, you know?
Yeah, you're talking about the satellite that crashed?
Yeah,
they were trying to launch it
from California. There, crashed somewhere, I think, in the Arctic Ocean or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be a 2-year observation, low orbit observation on carbon dioxide and green, you know, all that kind of stuff they're trying to pull on us.
Well, I think had they sent it up, it would have measured very high levels. Had it succeeded, it would measure very high levels of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere. But carbon dioxide is being released into the atmosphere primarily. The greatest amount is being released into the atmosphere by the ocean floors warming up. Carbon dioxide is absorbed by the oceans more than by anything else. And it sinks to the bottom. And it's very, very cold down there. And then when you have a volcanic eruption down on the ocean floor, it heats up a whole bunch of carbon dioxide, and it hits the atmosphere. It floats up and hits the atmosphere. Hey, we're into a break. I got to run, man.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
Thanks for the call. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's open line tonight. We don't have to talk about the things that I brought to the table. We can talk about what's on your mind. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889. It seems, though, sort of interesting to me that we have this confluence of things happening, and a convergence of things happening. First of all, we have the whole evolution Darwin versus creationism debate boiling up all over the country. That's a big thing, the debate about origins. And then we've got more than double the number of UFOs in some places in the world, but it's up all over the world. And then we've got the harassment of, apparent harassment of those who talk about UFOs and who write about UFOs. Kind of an interesting convergence of things, don't you think? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Jason in Las Vegas.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, the last caller, he was talking about a unsolved mystery case.
Yeah.
That I remember seeing it, and I can't remember if it was in New Mexico or Arizona. And but it was a real interesting story. I used to watch Unsolved Mysteries all the time. But the one thing was, did you see the headlines about it? Didn't it, it? The headlines on the internet were UFOs solved due to sprites in their.
Yeah, I saw that today.
And that was basically the headline, like. You know, all of it solved due to sprites in the sky, and then they left it, you know, they explained the sprites and all that, and then that was it. So they, you know, throw that on the headlines, but they won't put anything else out there, like, you know, hey, here's some actual footage or anything like that. So,
well, yeah, and see, here's the deal. That story... will work. It's spin. It's pure nonsense. It's spin. And it will work for people that are mushrooms and just want to sit in the dark and feed off of manure. But it won't work for people who think. And the general population, the general public, have outrun all of that nonsensical crap and are not mushrooms. They are thinking about these things. And so those stupid stories have, they just become something to laugh at. You know, the shoe's on the other foot now. They used to ridicule people and make people feel embarrassed because they've seen a UFO and they'd make fun of them and ridicule them. Now the general public's ridiculing all of those ridiculers. And, I mean, what hogwash, utter hogwash.
Absolutely understand that.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
All right. All right, we've got just probably enough time for another call. Let me say this. I have checked our flash messages. I've only gotten one tonight. It is from the Netherlands, and it is from Anthony in the Netherlands, and it asked me to take a look at this link and maybe this will answer the mystery about Darwin and the church. Let me say, Anthony, I've been to that link many times. I've seen it. I don't think there's a mystery about Darwin and the church. I think the facts are clearly obvious. They are both religions. And, I don't assume that either one of them is correct because neither one of them has evidence on their side. But the link that you asked me to go to sort of assumes that a little bit of this one is correct and a little bit of that one is correct. That's like drinking a glass of water that's only got a quarter of a teaspoon of arsenic in it. Okay? If it's got a quarter of a teaspoon of arsenic, it'll kill you. It's poison. It's not water, it's poison. And I think that both of those theories are religions. If you want to believe what your religion teaches, go ahead. I'm not opposed to that. That's fine. What I'm opposed to is whenever someone takes their religion and says this is a scientific fact, and that is what the Darwinists do. It is not a scientific fact. It's not scientific. It's not a fact. It's a religion. And if they want to believe it, that's fine. As long as they call it what it is, it's a religion. And, if they are Darwinists, that's fine. I mean, there's Darwinists, there's Catholics, there's Baptists, there's Methodists. It's all of it's religion. As long as you call it religion, there's not any problem with that. But when you bring one of them into the classroom and say, we can prove this, and then you throw some evidence out there and the evidence doesn't prove it, that's not science. That's religion. And Darwinism is religion. just like everything that they oppose and call religion, Darwinism is a religion. There's no science behind it. There's a scientific effort to look into origins. Well, I'll give them credit for that. There's a scientific effort to dig up fossils and study them, and to be very thorough and as scientific about it as they can. I give them credit for that. But once you have given them credit for all of that, you have to realize that what they did dig up doesn't support Darwin's theory. And so then if you still believe it, even though the fossil record doesn't support it, and you still believe it, okay, not a problem. That's a theory. It's a religion. I got a flash message that says, how do you become a member? I clicked the become a member twice. Okay, well, I'll check it and see after the show. I don't know. It's been working. People have been joining. But I will check that after the show, and we'll see. That was from the United Kingdom, by the way, from Nigel. All right, folks, don't forget, this whole thing, when we start talking about origins, we're not talking just about origins. We're talking about everything that we see around us, including UFOs, including possible extraterrestrials. All of that's wrapped up in the study of origins. All of it. Even if you're on the church side and you say, oh, no, there are no extraterrestrials involved in creation, well, what do you think God is? Come on. You think God's from here? Well, if he's not from here, he's extraterrestrial. He's off-world. He's not from here. So, yeah, it's all. Anytime you talk about origins, you're involving all of that stuff. And there's just not anything more inclusive than your theory of origins. There are people who say, well, I believe the church story of creation, and therefore there are no extraterrestrials. Okay, that you see, your belief about origins colors your belief and your thinking about UFOs and extraterrestrials. It's all wrapped up in one package. Don't forget, though, we've got a seminar coming up, and that's what this is all about. It says things that some people, I think, will rock boats. Most of you will find it rock boats. It's going to be March the 29th. When we open registration, you need to register, because you can either attend live in Phoenix or you can attend live online, but you have to be registered even to get the password to attend live online. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.